Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The current status quo in St. Louis is unacceptable. As the economic powerhouse of our state, we can't continue to let crime kill growth in the region and drive businesses and families to move outside of our state's borders. In St. Louis, we have one of the nation's top police chiefs in Chief Robert Tracy, and a tough-on-crime prosecutor in St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore. And they could do even more if we give them the tools they need to continue their success.
That is new Governor Mike Kehoe of the state of Missouri in the State of the State address happening yesterday. This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX, and we do welcome in the mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, who was kind enough to come in studio and talk with us for a little bit here. We appreciate your time, Mayor. How are
thank
you?
Thank you for having me. Great.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming in. You heard the governor on what he said, mm-hmm. and this has been, he ran on this. This is the thing that he wants to do. He wants the state to reassume control of the police department. Mm-hmm. The city does not want to do that.
Right.
Why, in your opinion, is he wrong on this?
Well, first, I want to address his comments when he talked about the current status quo is unacceptable, and also remind him of who hired the police chief. I did. I want to know who the status quo is. A 42% reduction in homicides is not status quo. A 24% reduction in overall violent crime is not status quo. Billions of dollars in investment in our city over the last 4 years and into the foreseeable future is not status quo. No one who is sponsoring this bill can tell us how this is going to make St. Louis safer, how it's going to increase our population, how it's going to increase investment in St. Louis. All of those things are happening on the local level, and those are what I did.
Have you talked to the governor about this personally and how he feels about the situation?
I have been trying to get meetings with the governor, and the last time I talked to him was the day after he was elected in November.
And with the, as he said in this quote here that we just played, that he praised Chief Robert Tracy, he praised Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore, and then said that a state takeover would give the police the tools they need to continue to make progress. Do you know what tools he is referring to, what tools you feel that you've given them?
Well, for starters, the police have received two raises under my administration, the most recent one last week. We have tons of vehicles on back order, up to 50 new vehicles. They get the other equipment, the surveillance equipment and technology they need to do their jobs, because our clearance rates are up above the national average. Our clearance rates for crimes are up in the 70s as far as percentage wise, when the national average is 50%. So I want to know what tools they don't have that they currently need to do their jobs.
So where's the disconnect? The Ethical Society of Police had said they want the state to take over. Some officers individually, they mm-hmm. want the state to take over. Why is there a disconnect there? Why does the police chief want to keep it in the city, but the rank and file do not?
Well, the police chief only knows governing under local control. This is his fourth city. He started in New York. He went to Chicago, Wilmington, and now St. Louis. You know, this attempt is pure politics. It's driven by elected officials who don't live in the city, don't even have the city's zip code or area code. And it's funded by the people who funded the campaigns of the governor and those who are currently elected in office. No one can tell me how this is going to make our citizens safer.
The St. Louis Business Journal noted that from 2019 to 2022, downtown St. Louis lost approximately 500 businesses. And I understand that COVID also changed the algorithm for businesses. But that is a big number. And we have talked about this, that every city has crime. But also a city like Chicago that has crime has people. So it's like, where is Waldo? Waldo's on a crowded beach. And sometimes it feels like in St. Louis with the crime, Waldo's the only guy on the beach. And it shows up if you're walking around and streets aren't bustling all the time. So if crime is going down, how are you also going to get people here to move here, invest in downtown St. Louis, and believe crime is going down when, you know, people you know have experienced car break-ins or feeling unsafe?
Right, right. We realize that it takes time for perception to catch up with reality. But the reality is that St. Louis is a lot safer than it was 4 years ago when I became mayor, as this from the statistics that I just talked about at the top of the hour or top of our segment. And we are doing the work to attract businesses to St. Louis. I can talk about just $1 billion in announcement investments alone in November of 2024 alone. If St. Louis was so bad, then why are we constantly attracting businesses, and businesses downtown are renewing their lease to stay in the city and to stay in downtown?
There is a belief that if, in order for the city, and I'm not sure it's a belief, I think it's reality, that if the city is to, the downtown area specifically, if it's going to improve, there has to be outside investment. Clearly, the city itself can't just renovate all of these buildings and, right, and have people move in. So how do you attract businesses to want to be downtown? And again, mm-hmm, realizing that there are challenges in cities around the country,
right,
with, you know, companies are doing work from home, so right, they may not need the office space anymore. So right, how do you get them into the city?
Well, for starters, we've been working with our partners at Greater St. Louis, Inc. and St. Louis Development Corporation, going around to industry conferences. Either, you know, I'll go, or SLDC or GSL will team up and go and put booths out to say St. Louis is open for business. We get a lot of people stopping by our booths when we do that. And we've been able to attract more businesses that way. We have to be out in those industry conventions and conferences, letting people know that A, we exist, B, that we're open for business, and C, that we are addressing crime. And St. Louis is a lot safer than it was. We're back to pre-pandemic levels in crime, back to lower than 2013.
Yeah, you were at a conference right around the time the snowstorm came in, and you took some criticism for not being here when that happened. And then there's criticism of the amount of trips you've taken in this regard. Are those criticisms fair or not?
I don't believe they're fair because, number one, I pay for them myself. They're on my own dime. And number two, which part are people mad at? The billions of dollars that I've been able to bring back to the city in federal and philanthropic investment? Because that doesn't happen if I'm not at the table. And in order to be considered, you have to be present and have to be in people's faces in order to be considered for a lot of those awards. We have wonderful partnerships and relationships and nationally because of the work that I've done on my own dime, on my own time, because I don't get PTO. I am a 24/7 mayor, but also I can be in two places at one time, because as we have seen, people working from home and things still get done.
I think some of the, you know, you talked about perception and the cynicism. I think, for instance, one thing with the trips, they can say like, OK, you're paying for the trip with your own dime. That's fine. But I can't leave my house because the streets aren't being plowed. And my trash hasn't been picked up for weeks, and it's been an issue for years. And the potholes have been an issue for years. I'm driving my kids to school and I went through 10 steps of, you know, 10 flights of stairs on my Fitbit because my car is hitting potholes and bumping tires. And so they may say, okay, fine, it's great that you paid for it, but when I walk out my door, the basic services that I need in the city aren't happening.
I don't believe that to be true. But first, I want to set the stage here and make sure your listeners know that I am sorry for what they have experienced with this last storm. We didn't pivot fast enough. We didn't ask for help fast enough. And now that and we did. And now things are being addressed. We've had a trash blitz going on for the last several days with help from other city departments to pick up over almost 400 tons of trash. And also we've had smaller trucks also from other city departments and other contractors helping to remove the ice and the snow. And I must say that it is more difficult to address ice because you have to have chemicals and it has to be warm enough for those chemicals to work. We had, you know, single digit temperatures. So no chemicals are going to work when we have single digit temperatures, because first we had snow, then it turned to ice, and that becomes more difficult to treat. But again, we missed the mark, and I am apologizing for it because the buck stops with me. However, it's also important to note that we are addressing potholes, but our citizens have to report them. Our drivers aren't driving around just looking for potholes. It's a combination of citizens reporting them through the CSB, also our NIS or neighborhood stabilization officers also reporting them while they're out. But it's a give and take. Everybody has to participate in this democracy.
If somebody does reach out to CSB, what sort of response time should they expect? Because I have heard about people in South City. I've heard directly from people in Soulard, downtown West, mm-hmm. who've had an issue with trash even now, where the dumpsters are still full even after a lot of this ice has melted. So why are they not getting quicker response in the moment?
Well, we are responding as fast as we have people to respond. On any given day, we have 55 trash routes to pick up, and we have about 39 to 41 drivers on a good day. And it's not because we haven't tried to hire more drivers. They require a specific set of skills. They have to have a commercial driver's license in order to be drivers. And as soon as we train them, sometimes the private operators pick them up. Your Republics, your other trash operators, because the city of St. Louis has not done a good job at keeping pace with pay. And so we can't compete with private industry when they're going to offer them $10,000 to $15,000 more. So, and again, these aren't excuses. This is just the reality of the labor shortage is real, and we are addressing this as soon as we can with the staff that we have available.
Why does the city of St. Louis, which is now getting a windfall of money from RAM settlement, had ARPA funds, why is the city of St. Louis so especially short in all of these areas? Because I think what people do is they look at other counties, other municipalities, and go, well, they're getting trash picked up and they had single digit temperatures. That wasn't special to St. Louis, and they were able to treat the roads before and after. They have narrow streets and street parking. That's not special to the city of St. Louis, and they were able to take care of it. Their potholes get fixed. You know, after a while, why is the city of St. Louis so special that these are just so much harder to do in the city of St. Louis that the city is behind in all of these things?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, because services are being delivered. We are delivering services at the rate that we have people to deliver those services. And we are, again, our drivers are out there. We have other departments helping. We are filling potholes. And this is a participative democracy. We need other people to let us know where to go, because we put all of that on a map when we get it in CSB. That's why we ask people to report it to CSB, because we have a mapping tool that allows us to know where to go. But we're also going on our regular trash routes and making sure that we're picking everything up there.
How is the communication? Because there was, right after the storm came in, there was the comment from the director of streets that, well, it didn't know that this was going on here or there were troubles here. Is that a problem? Is communication an issue?
No.
And if so, how does it get rectified?
Well, communication isn't an issue when it comes to me. I've had several conversations with the director of streets. However, I believe she has to have those hard conversations with her employees. She has over 150 or plus employees doing streets, traffic, and refuse, and other things. So I believe those are hard conversations she has to have with her employees.
We do want to talk to you about the RAM settlement money specifically. I know you wanted to come in and speak on that as well. We will do that on the other side of mm-hmm. this break. We appreciate you sitting through it. Mayor Tashara Jones is with us here on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you as we are continue our conversation with the mayor of the city of St. Louis, Mayor Tishara Jones. And Mayor Jones, I know we're going to talk about the Rams settlement money. I just did want to follow up on something that you said, since you brought it up a couple of times, people reporting issues on their streets or potholes. I just want to clarify, are you saying they're those like potholes, are you saying they're slow to get filled or they're not getting filled?
No,
because
I'm not saying
citizens
that.
Aren't reporting it or
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that when a pothole is reported, we have a standard to fill it within the first 24 to 48 hours. Our pothole crews have been working since last week with a cold solution to fill potholes, to realizing that we can't use the warmer one because the weather prevents that. But our crews have been out filling potholes since last week.
So moving on to the Rams money, there's close to $300 million of it to be invested in the city. And there's some disagreement as to how that money should be spent within the city. So tell us right now where you stand on it and what should happen with these different proposals.
Well, I believe there's only one proposal right now because this is governing at its best. This is how the sausage gets made, right? Yep. And I appreciate the bill sponsors, Alderwoman Sonier and Alderwoman Boyd, for getting together and coming to a compromise, which was also shepherded by my staff, and also working with Greater St. Louis, Inc. To put all of these proposals together, because I firmly believe that with this windfall of money, everybody should get a little something. And that's what the current proposal that's being debated right now is. There's money that goes to downtown. There's money that goes to areas of our city that haven't seen investment in decades, like North St. Louis and parts of South St. Louis. There's money for people, for workforce. There's money for childcare. There's money for infrastructure, our water department, building new housing, small businesses. There's a little bit for everybody.
I know $74 million, I believe, is allocated for downtown St. Louis.
I don't know if that's the current number.
Okay.
It may change.
Okay. Up to $100 million would be matched by private, like Greater St. Louis, by private investors.
And they've committed to a one-to-one match.
Okay.
Yes.
I believe it was up to $100 million.
They've committed to a one-to-one match. So okay. Whatever that number would be.
I guess my question is then, if there is that cap, would it make sense to whatever the cap is to match it as much as they're willing to match one-to-one?
Again, I'm not aware of a cap. The last time I saw the bill, there wasn't a cap on the match.
As far as investment downtown specifically goes, what exactly do you envision? What does that look like to you?
I think that's addressing some of our largest vacant buildings. And we are already down the road on that with the Millennium Hotel, how we pushed the owners from Singapore to sell to a local developer. And now the RFPs are being reviewed. We've held the owners of the the Railway Exchange Building, held them accountable, and now that process of eminent domain is complete, and then we'll be accepting bids for that to redevelop that building, because it is the second largest building in the entire state of Missouri, and we have to put that asset back into production and back into make it a tax generating asset. That looks like other buildings downtown as well. We need to look at some commercial to residential conversions, looking at parking, looking at our aging garage structure there, and also our convention center. Completing our convention center to make it a world-class facility to make sure that we are attracting more conventions and conferences from around the country.
You mentioned your trips that you've taken, documented in the St. Louis Business Journal, and it said that they're important for advocating for the city of St. Louis. Obviously, it does take you away from the city of St. Louis. We had Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez on. She had proposed an idea for a city manager, mm-hmm. while the mayor would be oversee the vision for St. Louis and advocate. The city manager would take care of daily on the ground, boots on the ground tasks. Mm-hmm. Are you open to, in favor of the idea of a city manager?
Well, I'm not open to this particular bill, and let me tell you why. Because the city of St. Louis that it is currently set up has 9 citywide elected officials, including 6 county, 3 municipal. And in a typical city management structure or city manager structure, that city manager is over finance and personnel. We have an independently elected comptroller, an independently elected treasurer, and an independently appointed director of personnel that is held to standards by the Civil Service Commission. Unless a city manager is going to have control over those functions, which are primary to getting things done, and in addition to the other functions of license collecting and the collector of revenue and all of those other citywide functions that are independently elected. If we're not taking care of those first, then this city manager is just another level of bureaucracy that's going to keep people from getting services that they need.
We only have a few more moments with you before we have to break here. So I wanted to talk to you about St. Louis Public Schools. They had their issues with transportation mm-hmm. over the last several months. How have you been able to rectify that? I know that this is not, if you have been able to, or at least pressure them to do something about it, because it is an issue for a lot of parents.
Right. It is an issue for a lot of parents. And I feel that those parents' frustration and pain. We have a liaison that is directly responsible for engaging all of our educational institutional partners through the Director of Children, Youth, and Families. We have extended an olive branch or a branch of help to SLPS. However, you know, sometimes they accept it, sometimes they don't. But we stand ready to help wherever we're asked to.
We talk about crime a lot, how it hurts the city or the perception of crime. We had multiple callers and texters, lifelong city residents, who say no one's going to move here unless the schools improve. And that, how do you think the chaos at the St. Louis Public Schools is affecting the city's ability to move forward?
Well, when we saw people leaving the city, the number one demographic of people leaving the city were single Black mothers. And when mothers move, they move for better educational opportunities and better financial opportunities for themselves and their families. And speaking as a single Black mother myself, I have spoken with many of my friends who have moved out of the city, and a lot of times it is about education. However, I'm not going to throw SLPS under the bus. They're doing the teachers there are doing a yeoman's job at taking care of our babies every day, despite the chaos that goes on at the board level. We do have good charter schools and good parochial and private schools here as well. But I do agree that until we have educational options, quality educational options for everyone, no matter the zip code that they live in, that will be an impediment to progress.
Mayor Tashara Jones, trying to get the button to work over here. Mayor Tashara Jones, we appreciate you giving us your time today. We'd love to be able to talk again down the road. So thank mm-hmm. you for coming in, speaking with us, and addressing some of these issues. I know that there are a lot that we can get to in the
yes.
future. So
thank you for having me.
That is Mayor Tashara Jones with us. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.